So good morning. Here we are with Brent Zuber from Memory Builders and Michael Lancome from Custom Cabinets by Design. And we're going to spend some time this morning to get to know both of them. And we're going to start out with Brent. So Brent, tell us about Memory Builders.
Memory Builders, we've been around since 2014. We have started out doing a lot of remodels. Now we're getting into some of the custom homes. And now we just want to tell you a little bit more about some of our trades. And one of the guys that came in today is Custom Cabinets by Design.
Michael. So tell us about yourself, Michael.
Custom Cabinets by Design. We started in 2004. And it was an idea that came from, and I worked for several cabinet shops and decided, hey, why don't we do a design firm and sell these guys cabinets. And recently we just brought my son into the mix.
Oh, fun.
Yes. So
yeah,
now we're
family business.
We're a two-man team, and it's been great. Our sales have increased, our productivity has increased, and we're real excited.
So do you mainly work in Houston? You said earlier you also work in Austin.
We work in Houston, Austin, and San Antonio.
And San Antonio.
San Antonio.
As well.
We're starting a couple projects with a builder in San Antonio that's going to be building spec houses.
So tell us about the cabinets, because do people in Houston have different tastes and desires than people in San Antonio?
There's
or
a
Austin?
Huge range of cabinets, and I mean, all over the country. Our main niche, we like modern cabinets, real contemporary, clean lines. Things like that. Houston is real big on a Craftsman style shaker. Austin's real big on modern ranch. But, the trends change. But a lot of the things that stay the same are the timeless, the inset cabinets, painted cabinets, introducing painted cabinets with wood islands, and things like that.
Are mostly the cabinets made of wood?
Most of them are made of wood, but we're seeing a lot more of the particle board, furniture board, and MDF. It's environmentally responsible, and it's actually the technology's changed to a point now where the MDF and particle board are actually better products than the plywood. And they carry the same lifetime warranty, so you're looking at anywhere from a 20-25% savings on your cabinets.
So recently I've seen some of these videos on the news about these houses that they're building that are fire retardant. How about these cabinets? Are there any?
The cabinets are to a certain degree. The furniture board is a big deal. It's actually made with like a wax resin. So it's fire resistant. You get a fire hot enough, it's going to burn or it's going to melt. The doors, most of the doors are solid wood still, the raised panel doors, flat panel doors. The laminates, of course, are MDF core. But that's a good question, though. That's a good thing. I'll have to look that up, because that's a good selling point.
Yeah. So when you say you do design, and that design is something that sort of sets your business apart, are you designing like the look of the cabinet on the outside, like if it has glass on it?
We're doing that in and we partner with designers on that. So they give us the look they want, the feel of the house. What we design is the functionality of the place. How do you cook? How do you clean? How do you meal prep? So we lay it out in a way where some of these kitchens are huge,
yeah,
massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you could walk a mile in your kitchen cooking a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, we with modern accessories and things like that, we accessorize the kitchen for how you cook, how you take care of your family, how you entertain. Most houses now, this, everything's open concept.
A lot of the times the architects will design the layout for the clients,
right,
and they go back and forth, and then once we get it in our hands, then that's when we meet with the clients to figure out exactly what they want in their cabinets, organizers, lazy Susans, trash can,
right,
or recycle bins, all that good stuff.
And that's the way we work with, I want as many people in this meeting as possible.
Yeah,
in
collaboration.
Collaboration. The builder, the architect, the designer. I really push people to hire designers. I know they're expensive, but they are worth their weight in gold. They know color. They know trends. They're not going to let you make a mistake in your kitchen that's going to be out of style next year.
And in addition to that, they get you to actually put down on paper what you're thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's where we get into the design part. We do all of our own drawings. Typically from an architect, we're going to get a floor plan. And I like it that way. Give me a footprint. We'll go in and we'll build the cabinets, the height, the accessorize it. So we put that into our drawings. And then we have a meeting with the homeowner. We do color renderings. So that we could put your backsplash in, your countertop, the flooring. So you're going to get a real good idea of what your kitchen layout's going to be before we've cut a piece of wood.
And so do you have a shop where you create all these cabinets?
We don't have a shop. We partner with, we've got two custom shops that we work with, one in Houston, one in Brenham. And then we have three factory lines. One's on the West Coast, one's on the East Coast, and one's on the Northeast Coast. And so we have a cabinet for just about any budget.
So when you say factory line, so you order from the factories and they send it to your custom shop that you work with and they put
it
together?
Yes, they're, and factory is kind of a loose term. They are not sitting in a factory waiting for you to pull it off the shelf. We design it, we send it to them, we use their catalogs. So a lot of it is pre-designed. Mm-hmm. And we take their catalogs and build a design with it, put it together on paper, and then we order it, it's delivered, we install it. It comes pre-finished. Most factory lines come with a limited lifetime warranty. And the customer service from the lines we use are just absolutely phenomenal.
You want to name them? Give them a little plug?
Sure. Belmont Cabinets is my go-to. They are just outside of Seattle on the West Coast. Wellborn Cabinets, they're on the East Coast. They're more of a traditional style cabinet. And then our newest one is called Fabuwood. And they're new to Texas. They are a builder price cabinet that's very customizable. And we're super excited about them right now because they're allowing us to get into budgets that we've never been able to reach.
See, the other thing is a lot of these carpenters that are here in Houston, they say they do job site built cabinets. Now, when they come and do this, they're not doing on precise CNC machines. Then you have to have your painter come and paint it, and the paint's going to flake off. It's going to chip. These coming out of the factory, they're going to last a lot longer. You can tell a little bit more about the paint, but it's going to last.
It scratches easy. It's a pre-cat lacquer it's virtually indestructible. The process is a lot like automobile finishes. Most of the factories now, it's all robotic. It goes through a machine, and I guess the biggest complaint that I get about factory cabinets is the finish is too perfect. It looks fake.
Really?
But you can also antique it. You can do things to make it look.
Well, a lot of the factories now are doing matte finishes instead of the gloss finish.
That's nice.
So the matte finish really makes it look, you know, like some quality craftsmanship went into that finish. A lot of them, they're 16 to 24 steps to finishing a raised mantle.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of sanding.
A lot of our high-end clients, that's what they want anyways, is the prefab cabinets, because they know that when we go and frame a house, Michael comes, he measures, then they built it in the factory, it gets finished, we cover it, and it's done. But whenever you have job site built cabinets, the doors are going to warp because of the humidity. Once you go and seal it and paint it, it's not going to move.
Right. Well, and you know this, I mean, if we time it right, you know, where we come in right after you sheetrock, tape, float, paint, get your floors in, we come in, we're going to shave anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks off your schedule.
That's huge.
That's huge. How many houses can you build in a year? How many can you add? Even if you built one house extra a year, what does that do for your business?
It helps.
It helps.
That's huge. I mean,
yeah.
Clients are happy.
Sure. And they, you know, and the client knows what's coming out. They've seen a rendering of it. We've spent an enormous amount of time, you know, going over all the details down to the pull, the hinge, you know, the soft close mechanisms, everything. Every little detail has been talked about, and our clients are just comfortable. We know what's coming out.
And the price point. I mean, it's super competitive on the price point. I mean, it's not like these things are 30% more expensive, 50% more expensive. It's in line with some of these other
guys.
Well,
if you're able to take out, when you're sitting down and you're lining out all your budgets, you've got, basically, you're mostly getting square foot prices. The trim guy's giving you X amount of dollars per square foot to trim and build cabinets. Your Correct. Painter's giving you X amount of dollars per square foot to paint the whole house. It's really hard for you to come in and say, okay, what is my cabinet budget? Most builders are getting a cabinet trim budget. So when I come in, I always look more expensive because I'm turnkey. Labor, material, finish.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the numbers look skewed for me. But I'm seeing more and more builders now are more conscious about that. They're getting their trades to break things out so that they can give their clients options. You know, Mike can do it for this, trim guy can do it for this.
It also helps when we provide proposals to our clients. They know exactly what they're getting, so they're not getting change orders.
Right.
Yes.
That's the biggest issue whenever we first started building back in 2004 and 5. Change orders. I mean, you're spending, I've had some change orders over $75,000 on cabinets. And
we just, as a policy, try to never do change orders.
Oh, that's excellent.
It messes up our accounting. It stretches the job out. Because coming from a factory, if you make a change, you're going to add another 2 weeks minimum to get that part, that piece back out, change it out. And it costs, no matter what you charge for a change order, it's never enough.
It's never enough.
And Michael and I, we've actually done some pretty high-end homes. We've had some cabinets built out of Germany, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just to change one part, it took, what, 6 months to come in?
Oh, God, yeah. I think they were short on some molding or something.
Yeah.
So the top of the refrigerator was undone for like 3 months.
I mean, and just for the kitchen alone, just for the cabinets, it was like $100,000.
Yeah.
And which is outrageous. I mean, we can do a kitchen for...
Sure. Well, here's the deal with those cabinets. You're buying a brand. You're basically buying a Mercedes with an AMG label on it. So, are they great cabinets? They are great. They're wonderful. They've done some really neat engineering. Are they worth $100,000? Not when I can give you the same thing for $50,000.
Yeah. So, what's the typical sort of custom house that you're working on together, the total cost of the house?
Usually between $750,000 to, say, $2 million.
Yeah.
And do you do custom cabinet work for houses that are already established and have been around for a while and the cabinets are falling apart?
We're actually bidding one job now.
Yeah. Ah. We're about 50% of our work is remodel.
50%?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that's where the factory cabinet really shines, because planned properly, you don't have to tear these people's kitchen out until you know when the cabinet... I get a delivery date.
Yep.
A week. This is going to come out the week of this week. And, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that, you tear everything out. We show up with cabinets. You go right back in.
Exactly.
And you've cut these people's stress level in half.
Oh,
correct.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have the clients, we order the cabinets. We know their countertop selection. Mm-hmm. We can get that going. Because once the cabinet's going, we put the countertops right in. Then we do backsplash. We already order the plumbing fixtures, and we can get in and out of a remodel, remodel, really quick.
Well, you think of someone, okay, you're gonna remodel their downstairs. Say they're remodeling their kitchen, their master bath. That's real common here. Well, they're going to live upstairs while their house is torn apart. Some people will actually go rent an apartment for a while. That's the smart ones. But some live in the house. You know, we get it. Everybody's got a budget. Think of living in a house and having a carpenter come in and build cabinets in your house.
Yeah, listening to the noises.
The saws, the shapers, you know, and all the noise and the dust.
And then you have the smell when you go and paint it.
When you go to paint it, I mean, we all know what lacquer smells like.
You can smell it down the block.
Right.
And so where do you guys get your customers? Do you do your marketing separately or together? Or, you know, how are you targeting? And along with that, how did you work with all of these potential customers that ended up in disaster situations from the flood?
Harvey was a mess, for sure. And we actually did not do a lot of flood work. It was, most of these people just wanted to get their house back together, get moved back in, get their life back together. You know, houses that had 3 foot to 7 foot of water in them. And our price point just was not an advantage to them. So what Harvey did for us, as odd as this is, like I said, we didn't do a lot of flood work, but everybody got so busy and so backed up, the builders found us. Because, I mean, you're mm-hmm. building, you went forward. You were building new houses, mm-hmm. doing remodels, probably stuff you already had scheduled. Well, you guys found us. So we got really busy during that time, but we were not working on a lot of flood work.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. I mean, you know, we didn't really know that until we, you know, stopped and looked at it. But the flood work that we did, we enjoyed. It was great to help people put their lives back together. We did a real small apartment type condo down in Clear Lake for someone I went to high school with, and we did it pro bono. And it felt super good.
Wow.
To help these
fabulous.
People put their life back. We found a cabinet that was inexpensive. It worked, had a good finish on it, and it was awesome to do that. And out of Harvey, we wound up we got a lower end cabinet, a price point cabinet that we're super happy with, and now we can do that type of work.
Oh, so you searched it out, and now it's in your line.
Well, it became a need. We were getting
calls.
And there were people that said, hey, look, we're past the insurance. We need to do this, and we really want to get our house back together. Can you help us?
Mm-hmm.
So we found a way to do that, and it expanded our business, and at the same time, it taught us a lot of how to deal with people who are really going through a stressful time.
Yeah.
And those were probably the funnest projects I've been on in a long time, because these people were really, they were distressed.
Yeah. How about you, Brent?
We didn't do as many flooded houses. We helped out friends and family and past clients first, but we stuck to our normal routine of custom homes and little remodels that we have. You know, we didn't want to overwork ourselves, because we've seen companies grow too fast. So we just stayed with steady work, you know.
And
we saw a lot of that. We grew really fast, and what we found is our infrastructure wasn't ready for it. We had problems with installers. We had guys going out there and doing, you know, all they wanted to do is throw the boxes in, get their check, and move on. And there was a lot of people here from out of state that were doing that type of work, and we just pulled the reins back and just said, okay, whoa. Let's halt the growth a little bit here. Let's get a team in here, a good install team. And right now, if that was to happen again, our infrastructure is in place for that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the questions that you get on a day-to-day basis whenever you go meet with your clients is, I want plywood. I get that all the time. They want cabinets that are built out of plywood. And you know, like,
I want an all wood cabinet.
When you get particle board, it's like when water touches it, it's going to expand. You know, we get that. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't have a problem with plywood. I understand. I understand the love for it. It goes way back many years. The problem I have with the plywood we get today, most of it is coming out of China. It is not the quality product that everybody thinks it is. And I'll tell people, and we have some samples that we've used food covering and water to show the absorption rate of particle board versus plywood. The plywood is like a straw. It's just going to pull it up until there's no more water. The furniture board and the particle board that's coming out today pulls it up about an eighth of an inch, and that's as far as it can go. Now, is the bottom of it going to swell up? Yes. Is the plywood going to delaminate? Yes.
How do you fix that?
You really don't.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the biggest problem with woods and getting wet? If they get wet and they dry, they're fine, they're stable. What happens in most cases, it gets wet, it dries. It gets wet again, it dries. It gets wet again, and it's a cycle. And over that cycle of drying and getting wet again, it comes apart. Most things, if you get, let's just say you get a half inch of water, your washing machine leaks or your ice maker leaks. Open up the toe kicks, let it dry out, get the leak fixed, obviously, and leave it alone. 9 out of 10 times, it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Even with the particle board.
Even with the particle board,
MDF,
yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, the particle board they're using now, I mean, the stuff made in the 70s is trash. And if your cabinets are that old, throw it away, start over.
I mean, even with plywood, it'll split and
sure it will.
All that stuff.
So sure it will.
It's wood.
It's wood. It's going to.
It's going
and
to.
I tell people, if you got 5-6 inches of water in your house, it doesn't matter what your cabinets are made out of. You got bigger problems.
Mm.
And one of the things we're doing on our on one of our contemporary lines, we're using the leg levelers, which are legs that go on the bottom of cabinets. So they're on plastic legs. They're 4.5 inches tall. And then we snap on a toe skin to that matches the cabinet. So what happens is, say you get a leak, your sink leaks, your dishwasher leaks, ice maker. You've got 4.5 inches there that water can do whatever it's going to do without touching your cabinets. So the only thing you're going to replace is toe kicks.
Yeah.
And that's a skin. So we like that, and we sell that as an option in utility rooms, water areas, kitchens, bathrooms. Anywhere you think you could have a potential leak, the legs are just, it's a perfect solution. My installer doesn't like them, but...
Why? Because it's hard to install?
It's longer. It's more of a process.
But the more time you take on installing a product, the higher the quality.
Yes.
Less warranty in the future. It's, once you put a house together and you go way too fast, you're going to have issues.
Yeah, I give my installer typically a 3 to 5 day install time frame, depending on how many cabinets. Sometimes he finishes in 2 or 3, if I give him 5. But my philosophy with him is, I don't care how long it takes, do it right.
Yeah.
I don't want to come back and fix your screw holes and your nail holes. You know, it's not what we do. He installs it, he touches it up, he punches it out. When he leaves, the cabinets look great.
At that point, are you installing cabinet hardware?
Yes. Yeah, we install cabinet hardware at no cost as long as you have it on the job when we're installing. If we've got to make a special trip back, then I've got to charge you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, we opened an account with Hardware Resources, so we're offering hardware with the cabinets now.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Yeah, so you can get a complete project. We're offering glass, so you don't have to have multiple trades working on your cabinets anymore with us. We can do it turnkey.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we try to reduce as a builder is finger pointing. So if you have someone that builds the cabinet, then you have another company comes to install the cabinet, then you have someone comes to do the cabinet hardware, then you have another company comes and paints it.
Right.
I mean, it's just... That's just nonsense.
I had a homeowner ask me, well, why would you want to do this at no cost? And I said, you know, if I drill a door wrong, it's on me. If your guy, your carpenter, or whoever's doing it, the builder, it drills a door, I've got to go fight them to buy me a new door. I would rather just, if it's my mistake, I'm going to take care of it. It's done. You know, my guys have jigs. They know how to do it. My son is very good at hardware. He's only drilled one door wrong in 1 year, so.
What happens in those cases when your team makes a mistake and, you know, as you said, if you have to go back to the factory, then you are adding a lot of time and
right.
cost.
It happens. From time to time, we'll order something wrong or the hinging is backwards, something to that effect. We immediately go to the factory and say, okay, we need this, this, and this. We put it on a fast track. So typically we're going to get it back to the house in 7 to 10 days. If it's our mistake, we don't argue about it. We pay for it, get it put in. And typically we will leave the mistake in place, especially on a remodel. So at least everything's together,
yeah,
it functions. You can put your things in the cabinets. And then we come back and swap out whatever parts.
Which that doesn't delay the build schedule because builders can go in and they can do tile on,
sure.
you know, in bathrooms. They can, You know, they've got so many other things to build a house. Once you wait in 10 days, it doesn't
affect anything. We got a pull-out trash can one time from the factory, and they painted it the wrong white. So it was, and it stood out. I mean, it was like off-white and bright white. So it was pretty obvious. And all the trades went forward. We left it in place, and they sent us a new cabinet. And instead of pulling the old cabinet out, because it was a frameless one, so it was easy to... We just popped the door and drawer off and put the new one in. It was done. Builder never lost any schedule. Countertops went in. Floors went in.
Interior trim, I mean, that's going to take over three months.
Easily.
So you have time.
Yes, we do have time. It's remodels is where we really, really pay attention because the schedule's a little tighter. So, you know... Being short on crown, things like that, there are mistakes we try not to make. It happens. If we can keep them to a minimum, then we feel like we've done a good job.
So where do you look for your customers? And what's your ideal customer profile?
We are huge into social media now. I do not buy any advertising. I'm a Howells Pro, which is pretty expensive advertising, but it works. We're members of the GHBA, the Greater Houston Builders Association. Love that organization. We've met some fantastic builders there. Builders, architects, and designers. That's who we target. We don't really have the resources to find the homeowners. And we're not going to make flyers and mail them out and all that stuff because we're just creating paper waste. Mm-hmm. You know, people get that stuff in the mail. I know I do it. I don't even look at it. Throw it away. Mm-hmm. So we're not really looking for the end users. If they happen upon us, Google's really big. You do a Google search for cabinets, we pop up pretty high on the list. So I would say we get 20% of our customers from Google search. Everything else, Instagram is huge. We love Instagram.
That's the biggest one for sure.
It is. I love it. I love the interactions. A lot of, my son set it all up, so you know he's better at it than I am. But I'm getting better, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because you can show...
He just won't let me post beer and coffee pictures. Just put that on your personal stuff.
Are you mainly showing your finished products on Instagram?
We like to do the stories. So mm-hmm. Will the cabinets show up, and they start unboxing them, and Zach will take and video the room, and then he'll come back with his story later, and, you know, show it installed but not finished. And, you know, mostly like 3 to 4 stories, and then we'll do a picture at the very end.
Nice.
So it kind of gives people, here's the process, here's how it works.
So how does the next generation, so he's probably in the millennial or
Zach
older?
Zach just turned 24.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's kind of in between.
Uh-huh.
But what I see, he really communicates well with the younger builders.
Mm-hmm.
The young up-and-comers that are... They're wanting to build a little bit better product. They want to get an edge on their competition. So they're using factory cabinets. They're using all these neat, you know, cabinet accessories that a lot of people don't even know exist. And they're in tune with it. They like the renderings. They like to bring their design team to our office. The builder, the designer, sometimes the architect. And we sit down for an hour or two and we hash everything out right there.
And does he bring in clients that are younger, that are...
He sold three jobs here in the last 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And they came from... We do a lot of events with that Toner's organization. He's an HVAC.
He's a buildings forensics.
Forensics
guru.
Expert.
Oh, yeah. You told me about him.
So he does a lot of events, and we kind of coattail with him. So he did one recently at Carbach Brewery. And we set up a little table, and we had all of our cabinet doors and stuff. And the room was full of builders, architects, handful of designers. But we saw some heavy hitters there, and they brought their entire team.
Wow.
So we not only got to talk to the architect, we got to talk to 3 or 4 of his designers, or the builder. The builder brought their designers, mm-hmm. all their project managers.
I mean, some of the best builders are there, you know.
Oh, yeah, by all means, because they're doing the higher-end stuff. So this... forensic stuff is right up their alley. So we're there with a high-end product, high-end cabinet, and we got access to every one of them.
a high-end cabinet at a good price
point. At a good price point. Yeah, it is.
That's the key.
It is.
And it saves you time on the schedule.
Your heavy hitters, Woodmode, Brookhaven, Pogue and Pole, all these, they're super, super expensive. Or they're great cabinets. Don't get me wrong.
They're probably 20% more.
Easily. Just the showrooms alone put most of these companies 20 to 30% higher than us.
30% actually, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing the math.
They are. We've built a process where we have a small office that we can meet at. It's set up kind of like a loft looking kitchen. And we just accessed the office next to us. We're gonna put a full kitchen display in there. But we've come up with an idea that if we can keep our overhead low.
Oh yeah.
And we can show the product, you can interact with it, you can do all your samples, selections, and everything in this one small area. You know, we can compete with anybody. We're going to keep our overhead low, and if we can stay 20-30% less than the other guys, we're doing it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that sell the same cabinets that I have that we're beating them out on price because our overhead is low. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to have a huge showroom with all this cool stuff, but it's, I mean,
expensive.
You're just hundreds of thousands of dollars to build something like that.
Yeah. So.
And the consumer's going to pay for that.
Yeah. Outside of using social media and whatnot, how much technology do you actually use in your plans?
We're very technological. We have four different softwares that we use. AutoCAD to 2020, ProKitchen, and we're starting with a new one. I think it's called Mosaic or something like that. But they're anything from a design software to an ordering software. So it's streamlined us to where I can spend one day and do an entire kitchen design, have it rendered, and have it to my client within, I'd say, 48 hours. And it prices it. It factors our multiplier in.
So you're not going into these houses and drawing with a pencil on sheetrock anymore?
No. No. Will I do that? Yeah. But I'm going to have a pretty nice drawing to go with it.
So what kind of software, or do you use any software for your interaction with your customers, like project management? Or
we use a BuilderTrend. CoConstruct.
Mm-hmm. That's what we use.
And there's another one I've never heard of. It's I guess it's new. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a builder in Austin that uses it. We love that. To be able to upload drawings and communicate through this software, because everybody sees it.
Yes.
The builder has it, the designer has it, the architect has it. Zach and I both have an account for it. So anything that pops up, we get a text on our phone that says, you've got a message.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at it. If it could be something as, hey, we need you to change this. Or you've won the bid.
And do you get your clients to be interactive with you on the software, or they shy away from it?
We don't. Because the learning curve is a little tough. You know, for me to, all of our softwares use Sentinel keys. So for somebody to take my drawings and interact with it, they would have to have the same key I have.
Mm.
I think 2020 has an interactive virtual setup. So I could actually send you a panoramic view of your kitchen, and it's web-based, so they can interact with it. We haven't really got into that because that's really time consuming.
What I've seen is the most efficient is we get the email in PDF form.
Yep.
We send it to the client. They print it up and then they mark on it. And then we have another meeting if there's going to be revisions.
Right.
And then you take those revisions, put it back in the computer. You can turn it around in less than 12 hours.
And as old technology as that is, it's still the best form of communication.
It is. And
it is.
Yeah. And then the clients don't have to worry about learning a new program.
Right. We have a color scheme on our drawings. And we'll take the drawings. The first set of drawings that you're going to see are going to have red marks on it. That means we've measured it. We've measured your space. And we take those back and we correct it. Then we have a meeting. We go through the design, the details. The next color you're going to see is it's going to be remeasured in green. That means that we're contracted. We've been approved to do the cabinets, and we've measured it again. The very last color, I know this sounds like a long process, but it moves pretty quick. The very last color is when I'm ordering it, I want purple marks on it. That means that I personally have physically gone out and looked at the job and double checked it, because purple's my favorite color.
Ah.
That means when I'm ordering it, I know I've looked at it. So it's basically three measures have been done on this house.
And when you go out to measure, are you using the old-fashioned tape measure?
The big old Fat Max.
Laser measures.
There's actually an app that works with iPads and your phone where you can turn a circle in a room and it lays it out seriously within an eighth of an inch.
Wow.
Yeah, and that we can incorporate into our software. So where it doesn't put all the cabinet design and anything, but it makes all the walls. So we've just saved a couple hours in draw time by physically putting walls in just by using the software.
So you recently went to the International Build Show. Is that some of the technologies that you learned while you were out there?
Oh, is that the one in Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Software in the building industry is huge. And a lot of it is mostly what you're using, like co-construct.
Co-construct's huge.
It's huge.
For the client.
That is, it is. And it's great. Your budgets are there. Your allowances are there.
Schedules.
And for us, that means that I can give you, you can have a set of plans. You're in planning stage like you are on the job site we're on right now. There's no foundation yet. It's all being planned. But all of our stuff is uploaded. It's there. You know what your budget is. You know what your cabinet budget is. You know everybody else's. It's sitting there, and you've got it.
You have options that the clients can choose.
Right. I may have four different pieces of hardware on there to choose from. It's an allowance. Let's just say I'm going to give you a $7 a pull. That's your allowance. You can spend more. You can spend less. But at least you've got an idea of what you're going to spend.
And you have an accurate quantity of how many pulls.
Right.
Rather than just saying, oh, they're going to spend $1,000 on hardware.
What are you getting for $1,000?
But how many cabinet doors and drawers are they going to have?
Right.
So you bring it down to exact
quantities. Well, Zach has helped us with, he likes Excel, and he creates spreadsheets for everything. We have a spreadsheet for our installer. He knows how much we have in the job for him, how much we've paid him, what balances do. We have spreadsheets for our cabinets. So here's our list price, here's our install price, here's our sales tax. Are we gonna do a 10, 15, 20, 30% markup? We know what we can discount a job if, you know, customer's got a budget that's gonna be challenging for us to reach. We've got five different options there. So the technology is huge for us.
And what about you? I know you use the co-construct.
Yeah, we use co-construct, and it's it helps from the very beginning, from doing the proposal, the estimate. Then you have the proposal. Then we can we have the schedule on there, so the clients know how long their project's going to take. And then you have all the financials from how much they've paid to date to what their expected completion cost is going to be. And then you also have options. On what selections you want to do, if you want to upgrade on certain areas such as countertops. You know, you can have three different options on what slabs you're going to buy, what every little detail you can think about in a home. We also have our superintendents will have punch lists. You know, then they'll send those lists to the trades, so when they go to the job, they will know exactly what to do when they get there. So for the cabinet guy, if there's something, hey, we saw this door was a little crooked, or something's not level or plumb, you know, we point those things out so that, you know, the clients don't have to. You know, it's actually better. We even like the clients communicating and telling us if they see things, you know, because an extra set of eyes on a job is always better.
I can't go to you and say, well, oh, I didn't get that email.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't get that text message.
Everything, all the communication is
in one spot.
So we have 25 different categories basically to build a house, and one, for instance, would be cabinets. So then we would only communicate in the cabinets section with the client, and we can actually, Michael can communicate with our client in this program. So it makes the whole process smooth. It takes about a month to learn. The clients, you know, it takes about a month or two. But we have meetings with the clients to try and help guide them in the right direction.
The clients are just getting smarter and smarter. They're more involved with the building of the house, which they should be. You're spending $1 million for a house, you should be making some decisions. You know, don't just say, hey, go take care of it for me, and then at the end complain because, well, that's not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So the all the interactive is it just makes the process wonderful.
It really does.
Yeah. So how close do you think you guys are to creating the virtual house and never even doing anything on the property at all? And
it's already
making,
there. They have it. It's already there.
But as far as you, guys go, do you think you're?
Well, you create your plans. You have 3D views.
For us right now, it's kind of gimmicky. 2020 has a deal where you can put the goggles on and you can interact with your design. It comes down to just having that amount of time. If I was in a position where I had 3 or 4 more designers, we would probably jump on that technology.
Are the designers in your part of your employee staff or
not the interior designers? We have like Zach and I are kitchen designers. We design the cabinetry itself. The designers are making the decisions on the countertops, the backsplash.
Okay, I see.
And then we pull it all together in our drawings. I see.
Yeah. Also to figure out what cabinet door design we right. want, what colors, what kind of hinges, and where they want to put the accessories, really.
Right, right.
And, I mean, even in master closets, they'll have jewelry boxes and they'll have, and the master bathrooms will have hair dryer.
That's boxes. One market we really want to tap into. We've done a few master closets. The problem is that I don't think the consumer is ready for that price punch yet.
Not in Houston.
No. They're very expensive to do. I mean, an average master closet that, you know, in a million-dollar house, for us, is going to run anywhere from $16,000 to $25,000.
Correct. And we're spending right now maybe $7,500 right. to $10,000 right now on a nice master closet, not just shelves. I mean,
yeah, they're still nice. The deal is, even in this one place, I'll say closets are a good place to site build. It's the design. If you lay it out and you get the homeowner involved with it, get them excited about it, and build it on site. We would love to do it because I love doing closets. They're a blast.
Yeah, you have purse racks, shoe racks, mirrors.
Oh, there's so many neat things you could put in a closet. They're as fun as doing
islands.
Kitchens.
Yeah, there's islands in master closets.
Yep. So we, when we do closets right now, we're using a local custom shop, and they're affordable. They're gonna compete with the site guys, but you're gonna get a product that's been cut out on a CNC machine. It's going to be accurate. The measurements are going to be accurate. It's going to be well-designed, well-thought-out.
And they can also finish it to the same quality as some of the factories
right.
with the high gloss, the
exactly.
catalyzed paint. And
yeah, and a lot of closets now, we're doing laminate. They have these, they call them textured laminates. And you get about a foot away from it, it looks like a real piece of wood. They've got stuff that looks like driftwood, old barn wood. And it's so accurate to the point where you can see the cross-grain scratches in it.
Amazing. So there's a huge trend toward home offices as people, you know, drop out of the big corporations and work from home. Do you see a trend at all, any kind of demand for cabinetry, high-end cabinetry at all?
I do. It's and I'm seeing a little bit of you always have the formal study that's just done with coffered ceilings, wall paneling, you know, tons of bookcases and stuff like that. But I'm seeing the home office coming out of the kitchen, thank goodness.
And yes,
I agree. Sometimes it moves into its own room. And it's like, we call them a resource center. So the housekeeper, the wife, she can go in there and she can do all of her house things in a small area off to the side of the kitchen. And not have to do a big formal study.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have clients that they work out of their house. And sometimes it's a his and her business, and we got to set it up for 2 people. And it can be challenging sometimes.
And do you find that they're wanting the high-end cabinets in there?
They are mostly wanting something in the middle of the road.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want a good quality cabinet at a reasonable price point. And I think that's where my company excels. That's what we've found cabinets that fit that niche. Can we do high end all day long? Can we do low end? We've got a cabinet for that too. But our sweet spot is that customer that wants a really good quality at a reasonable price.
For, and no matter if it's kitchens or home offices, bathrooms.
For any room in the house.
Yeah, or closets.
Yeah, a lot of what we're doing, when we do an entire house, we may use three different cabinet lines in it to get to a budget. Mm-hmm. So secondary baths, kids' baths, things like that, guest rooms. We put a good quality cabinet that's very affordable. Mm-hmm. We're going to put all the money in the kitchen, family room, butler's pantry.
The master.
The trend now are these utility rooms. Utility rooms now can go in excess of $10,000 because there's so many cabinets in it.
And the utility room, could you define that?
That is the washer-dryer area. Okay. So typically you're going to have a washer-dryer, a refrigerator or a freezer, a pantry cabinet for brooms, vacuum cleaners. But, I mean, I've seen, 60 feet of cabinets in a utility room.
Wow.
And so I've had builders approach me and say, can you design the utility room where it'll function, but it doesn't cost me $10,000? And the first thing I'll do is like, well, get the 10-foot cabinets out of there. Nobody needs that extra 18 inches of cabinets in a utility room. In a kitchen, it stands out. It's bold. It's a cool design. But you don't need that. That's going to add $2,000 or $3,000 to your budget for a space you're never going to use.
Yeah. So, Brent, what do you think is the overall importance of the cabinets in terms of how people feel about their houses against everything else that goes in there?
Cabinets is probably one of the biggest items
that
people
I would agree.
I would agree. Yeah.
You know, it's cabinets, countertops, tiles. Those are the big ones.
Yeah. And I'll tell people if
quality is actually the most important, really. They want quality cabinets.
They do. And again, they want quality, but they don't want to pay $100,000 for a kitchen.
With your product, you have that. You have the quality. You have the good price point. You have, everything.
We have a lot of options across, three or four different cabinet options, offerings. And I think it's one of the things that I'll say that would differentiate us from a lot of other cabinet dealers. I'll pick on Woodmode a little bit. Most Woodmode dealers have Woodmode, Brookhaven, and then they have something a little bit lower. But their incentive is to sell more Woodmode. And it's an expensive cabinet. It's a great cabinet, but it's expensive. We want to be right underneath that.
Your quality is up there with them.
The quality is the same, but it's not.
But your price point is
lower. I'll use the Mercedes tag again. It's a Mercedes, but it's not an AMG.
Yeah. So we only have a few minutes left. Can you guys talk about collaboration for me a little bit and how you see collaboration across the number of different companies that really need to work together to put a great house together in a budget and to meet the customer's expectations?
Yeah, I would say, on our part for cabinets, the builder, the architect, the homeowner, the designer, and us, we're a team, and we have to work together. We have to be on the same page, or it's not going to flow well for the client.
Communication
is absolutely, absolutely key.
And the earlier we start on that in the design phase of the architectural plans, before you pour foundation on a big house, or before a remodel, we don't even.
I would prefer you to come waste my time and bid 20 jobs that I may get 10. You may only get 10 of them. Mm-hmm. I would rather you do that and we spend the time to have all of that done for your client. So when you do get that job, you hit the ground running.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the work's been done.
Yeah, the communication up front on that is huge because cabinets, they lay out everything else in the whole house.
They do. They set the tone.
You know, where the light's going to be centered. There's so many other factors.
Well, and for us, we communicate with the electricians, the plumbers, the floor guys, the countertop guys. We're the all of your subs become partners in my business to some degree because good examples. Where's that microwave plug going to be?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's a home run. That has to be in the right spot. And if we're not communicating, it could be a foot over here.
And all of our trades want to communicate with you.
Yep.
you know.
Well, they want our drawings.
They want.
Hey, can exactly. I get a copy of the drawings? Yeah. Absolutely. Here.
Here you go. Then they know exactly where, before we even sheetrock a house, we know exactly where the plumbing lines go, right. The electrical, everything.
We do a lot of upfront work for the clients, the builders, just because in the end, it's going to make everybody's job easier if all of this work is done early. And it may not be spot on. There'll be changes. We'll be moving stuff. But the major scope of it is done.
So we're just about out of time. So is there anything that you want to say at the end here?
I would say how to summarize the whole process so the clients know what they're getting into before they come. So, you know, the first step, like we said earlier, you do the architectural plans. We design the cabinets. Once you go in, after we know exactly what we're going to order, and then after the house is framed up, you come back in. You measure it one last time before it's ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time sheetrock is installed and wood floors are installed, you come in and it's installed, and then we move on to interior trim, and then we can build the house. I mean,
and I would say to the client, to the homeowner, be involved. Be involved with it. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. Send me 150 emails. Call me at 10 o'clock at night. I probably won't answer, but nonetheless, but be very active. And know going in, and I can't stress this any more than cabinets are one of the most expensive things that you're going to put in your house. They're an investment. So don't be afraid of a large cabinet budget. You know, I tell people, generally speaking, think of 6 to 8% of your build cost is what your cabinets are going to cost. It's just kind of a good gauge to go by. They're expensive. You want them to last, and be a big part of the design. Don't be afraid to say, "Well, I want this in my kitchen."
Yeah.
Or to take things out.
We won't laugh at you, I promise.
No, or to take things out to get within someone's budget.
Sure.
I mean, that's huge. We want to make sure the client's happy with their
price. You don't have to have every accessory in your kitchen.
Yeah, and we will tell you.
You need storage, too.
We will tell you, hey, that's a little excessive, you know.
Sure. There's Lazy Susans that cost $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah. They're awesome. But do you need it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Michael. Do you want anything?
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Say anything, Brent? Last comment? Mm-mm. Nope. All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We all learned a lot. It was great.